Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Laughing Place podcast. We're recording this on July 20th, 2019. Jeremiah and I are live on taped from San Diego. And we've got Kyle all the way over in Missouri.
Hello.
Alex can't be here today. He's off reviewing a National Geographic movie. But we're here, so hope you appreciate that. Probably don't, but we kind of scheduled the show to talk about Comic-Con. Going into Comic-Con, you never really know what's going to happen, what the big news is, what's going to be announced. This year, we kind of had an idea that, Marvel had to announce something because they had a lot of untitled Marvel films dated on the website. We kind of knew that something was going to happen. So we're going to talk about this. The bulk of this is going to be talking about Marvel's announcements today. I know it's a Disney podcast, but Disney's, is the new Disney is a bunch of these different creative enterprises mixed together. So we're going to talk about it. And then at the end, we'll talk about any other sort of Comic-Con or otherwise stuff we want to talk about. So I think we're going to do this in the way that we presented it. So Jeremiah and I were in Hall H, the big, I believe about 7,000 seat venue that these presentations are held in. It was a rough day. So there's some pretty cool Star Trek stuff that was announced in the morning that they went through. Not Disney, but the way Comic-Con works on like D23 Expo or things is they don't clear the rooms. So if we what you really want to see, if you're concerned about getting in, sometimes you have to sit through some things that you had no intention of seeing or wasn't you're up your alley. Sometimes you get to see something cool, that you didn't otherwise wouldn't have seen, or you get to learn about a new fandom that might not be yours, but you get to see people appreciate that. And sometimes it's kind of boring. And I don't want to badmouth the rest of the panels, but by the time Marvel Studios started, we were ready to go. So after several false starts, the lights come down, and they show sizzle reel, for lack of a better words, of the Infinity Saga. And I know Kevin Feige, head of Marvel Studios, has mentioned it's the first 10 years of the Marvel Studios as the Infinity Saga before, but I think this is the first time we've seen a logo, and I don't know, kind of before it was just sort of like in press junkets, he would offhand mention it, but this time is the first time we actually got
The official screen and everything.
And so they announced that they're going to be handing out trading cards for the Infinity Saga. We got them. Basically, it's a card for each Infinity Stone, and on the back it tells you which of movies of the Infinity Saga those stones appeared in. He credited Alan Horn, chairman of the Walt Disney Studios, Alan Bergman, the co-chair of the Disney Studios, and Bob Iger, who he says the Infinity Saga wouldn't have happened without their leadership. Not quite sure I believe that, but it might not have been the way it ended up come being. And then he brought out the Marvel Studios leadership team as well. I think that was sort of the moment of acknowledging the Infinity Saga, and didn't spend a lot of time on it, but kind of had that sort of post-mortem now that Spider-Man Far From Home is over.
Yeah, it was a nice way to acknowledge the people that have worked really hard over the past 10 years. And it just kind of like brought them all out. And then as they're all out there, he stops kind of everything and goes, "And just so you all know, Avengers Endgame is the biggest movie of all time."
Yeah, so I guess he's like, a couple days away from it being overtaking Avatar. He was very gracious to Jim Cameron and mentioned that if you adjust for inflation, they're still number one. They'll probably be number one when Jim releases another movie. But they're proud of that. So it didn't come across as bragging, especially now that the Avatar franchise is part of the same family. Then Kevin brought out Kyle, you were with me at this one where they announced the phase two, and they kind of did a
Three.
timeline, and where they showed the different, untitled Marvel movies basically on a slide, and then they kind of filled them in one by one. This is very similar, and so they popped up the same slide, same background image, and everything, and started going through them. This is the first time I think they've officially said it was going to be called Phase Four. think they kind of teased that maybe it would be called something different, or maybe that was just an Infinity Saga thing, but they definitely called this Phase 4. So there's that. Todd, do you remember the Phase 3 announcement?
Oh yeah, definitely. I remember you had registered for tickets normally, but then you ended up getting a press seat, and so you gave me your credential to get in as regular, except that you had to show ID and it had to match the name on it. And so you gave me your license, and the guy kind of looked at me strange, but let me go. So I guess I know, I guess we look enough alike that I was able to get away with that. But yeah,
Probably more so back then than today, but yeah.
I sat up in the balcony of the El Capitan and ate popcorn and drank my water, and yeah, it was very exciting. I
So
did like
they
how
the
on this one though, people were like, "Oh wow, there are seven movies coming out in 2021," and I already had a feeling that we were gonna get more dates or better dates for the D plus series, but yeah, I knew that was my confirmation. I'm like, okay, yeah, they're gonna talk about Disney plus. They're not releasing seven movies in 1 year.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing about Phase 4 that I don't think really, because we'll talk about this at the end, but there's a lot of sort of chatter about what wasn't announced. But what people don't realize is that this Phase 4 is 2 years. It's 2020, 2021.
Right now.
Well, yeah. And so, it's not, there's plenty of time, they're speeding up the process here because of Disney Plus. And but anyway, I digress. So the first movie to talk about is the movie that's coming out November 6, 2020, and it's The Eternals. Stars Richard Madden as Icarus, Kumail Nanjiani
Kumail
as
Nanjiani.
Kingo, Nanjiani as Kingo. I apologize. Hopefully he shows up this time. Lauren Ridloff as Makari, Brian Tyree Henry as Phastos, Selma Hayek as Ajak, Leah McHugh as Sprite, Don Lee as Gilgamesh, and Angelina Jolie as Thena. It's being directed by Chloe Zhao. They talked about how this movie is going to go full Kirby. So Jack Kirby was a Disney legend. Jack Kirby kind of had a sort of spectacle and, I don't know, I hate to just simplify it, but kind of a weird aesthetic, especially sort of in his later run. And so they're kind of doing this as a tribute. We all know Stan Lee. Obviously, Jack Kirby worked closely with Stan Lee, but Kirby had his own thing. And so that's what
Yeah,
they're going with this movie.
Kirby's style has definitely stands out. If you've ever seen any of his books, DC or Marvel, he has a way about it that everybody remembers. And I think kind of Thor Ragnarok was dipping its toe into Kirby style, but
Absolutely.
yeah.
So, what they mentioned about this movie is the Eternals have been on Earth. We just didn't know it. And, we're going to find out a little bit more.
Well, they also pointed out that one of the things that everybody was so proud of was the diversity of the cast, and they were talking about how it really is the biggest diverse cast because they're all leads, and it was every range. So I think that point was really interesting because and as it sounded like from the audience, the Eternals aren't the most popular comic book out there.
Yeah, well, and it was funny as I was exiting there, someone was like, "Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the Eternals, but I also wasn't a fan of Guardians." So, until you see the movie, I
Yeah.
think as I kind of pitched to people, it's like, at this point, can't we just trust Kevin Feige? I mean, there's so much chatter every time they announce something. Oh, can they do this? How's this going to play? And in the end, we're always happy, and or at least 95% of the time. So I'm not gonna. Maybe I'm living in a rose-colored glasses kind of world, but I don't really see a point of, I don't know, being negative
No.
at this point.
Yeah, there's no reason to be negative. And the cast was amazing. And, they didn't show us anything other than one of the later films that was announced. It was just the cast kind of coming out and saying, hey, we're in it. And they kind of gave us a little bit of the history of the Eternals, but not, they didn't delve too deep into it, which is just like Guardians. If you knew Guardians, you knew what you were in for. If you didn't know Guardians, you saw a movie that had a raccoon and a tree in it, and then everybody loved it.
And I think, we're just in the early stages of this film. By the nature of it coming out next fall, it's always a chance they'll be at next Comic-Con, and that'll be their sort of bigger plot reveal. Although, they probably have a trailer before then, but anyway, anything else on Eternals? Moving right along. We got our
Right along,
first Disney Plus show. Every time I say that, I think. If we got our first Disney Plus show, The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, starring Anthony Mackie as the Falcon and Sebastian Stan as the Winter Soldier. Anthony Mackie came out with the shield, let Bucky have it for a few minutes, or
and then
Sebastian.
Jessica Chabot from Nerdist came over and took it, and that led into a lot of inappropriate innuendos for a second that almost sent the panel, at least the two guys were cracking up over comments that were made about weight and things.
And so, Kevin, I forget how they exactly set this up, but Kevin was talking about how, you're going to see other characters, it's integrated. And then suddenly the lights go out, and I apologize if I'm pronouncing his last name incorrectly, but Daniel Brühl pops up as Baron Zemo, talking about how he's, taken over Hall H and threatens, the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And then puts on the Baron Zemo mask, which he never did in Civil War. I mean, kind of going full Zemo for, as the case may
You never want to go full Zemo, but
be.
he did.
Yeah. Don't knock it till you try it, Jeremiah. Coming to Disney Plus, fall of 2020. So here's the thing that I think is interesting, is the first Marvel Disney Plus series will not be on air or on ones and zeros or whatever it is until the fall. Whereas Mandalorian, they're starting launch with the Mandalorian, the first live action Star Wars series. They're being a little bit more patient with their Marvel content. So, just an interesting fact for me. The Shield, though, I think we were kind of curious as to how much, after seeing, we found out about Falcon and Winter Soldier before the events of Endgame, but so he gets the Shield, but like, the Falcon name doesn't really carry the shield, but in the logo they do have Captain America's shield, so that will play a role, supposedly. Okay. Kyle, who do you prefer, Falcon or Winter Soldier?
I don't know. I guess Falcon. I mean, I guess I'm more looking forward to the new Falcon with the shield, if that makes sense. I think he has more potential than a Winter Soldier.
Well, I think it gives him a little bit more depth. Like, I feel like Winter Soldier obviously has a lot going on mentally, but and Falcon's always been like, the positive guy and kind of just got Cap's back, like true sidekick material. And with the shield, though, I think he's going to carry a little bit more of a burden, and you'll get to kind of understand Falcon a little bit better.
Yeah, definitely.
It'll be interesting to see. Sorry, it'll be
No, go
interesting to
ahead.
see the dynamic between the two of them because, what was it in Civil War? Like they stole scenes in just the couple minutes that they had together. So I think by the time, it's the buddy cop movie, it could be probably the funniest thing that they do, even if they don't want it to be that funny, they will make it that funny.
So next we have Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, directed by Destin Daniel Cretton, starring as Shang-Chi is Simu Liu, and Awkwafina will be in the movie in an undisclosed role, and Tony Leung is the real Mandarin. So if you saw Iron Man 3, Ben Kingsley played the Mandarin, but it turns out he wasn't the real Mandarin. He was an actor playing the Mandarin. And then on, I forget what release, they had All Hail the King, which revealed that there isn't true Mandarin, and he wasn't so happy about being impersonated. They showed that there's been references to the Legend of the Ten Rings, obviously since Iron Man, but also in Ant-Man and other things. So, for those that were kind of upset by the Mandarin not being the villain people expected him to be, this will definitely give you a different route.
Yeah, they referenced the history. They talked a lot about that. And then they also talked about the star, how his turnaround was like he was called on Thursday, brought in for a read on Sunday, and got the part on a Tuesday or something very quick. So I think they're moving as fast forward with this as possible. And it'll also be interesting because it's the first Asian character or Asian MCU movie character that'll have its own. And I think it'll open up a whole wide area and maybe some more mysticism too.
So just to recap, that is coming out February 12, 2021. But our next Disney Plus series is coming 2021. They previously announced WandaVision. So they showed a little bit of, like, I don't know, not a footage, but just sort of a concept kind of 10-second thing where it showed like kind of like a black and white TV, nuclear family with Wanda and Vision kind of sitting there on their couch looking like Donna Reed and kind of a weird sort of TV look. And if you see the new logo, you'll see it kind of has like a broadcasting antenna on the eye. Very confusing. But they also revealed that Teyonah Parris will be in the movie playing an adult Monica Rambeau, who is the child, the ch character child from Captain Marvel. Which took place in the 90s, so obviously she's grown up. So that gives you the idea that, this take place sometime, kind of in the present. Don't know exactly how this all works because, Vision's dead. They didn't answer those questions, but they did say this is a chance for Wanda, Elizabeth Olsen, to bring Wanda to become the full, Scarlet Witch. So.
And the way she kind of said it almost felt like she was. I think the freedom of getting the X-Men, hopefully that means that Scarlet Witch can be more of the Scarlet Witch that, could erase mutants from the Marvel universe, where she has more power than just, hey, I can move stuff with my mind. And that could lead into how Vision comes back, but I think that may fall a little bit later on in these movies that were announced, how that could happen.
What do you think of WandaVision, Kyle? I know you didn't see anything, but
Yeah, that's what's
neither
hard
did
is
we.
yeah. No, I
the name sounds great.
Yeah, it's a nice logo. That's all
Yeah,
I got.
I think the logo gives it that sort of kind of, I don't know what, like a retro vibe. I don't know, mid-century kind of look.
Yeah,
Yeah,
that.
didn't they? Isn't it set in the 50s? Like they've said that it takes place in the 50s at some point.
No, she
Who's
didn't really
they?
say that. She said something that had like a 50s aesthetic, kind of like what Fanboy is saying. And I think people took that to mean that it was set in the 50s, but I don't think that's actually what she said. I could be wrong.
No, I thought I remember like in the past one of the releases said something about the 50s. And that's why when they talked about it, I was like, oh yeah, it's in the 50s, not. Well, I could be just completely wrong, but I remember something about it.
So another Disney Plus series coming in the spring of 2021 is Loki. So they showed the clip of the Tesseract, from Endgame where Loki disappears. They say he takes a Tesseract and he goes to several different places, but the first place he goes is Hall H. And so obviously
Dun,
Tom
dun,
Hiddleston comes
dun,
out, wows the crowd just because he just kind of one of those actors who does Hall H really well. And he comes across very genuine and appreciative. I mean, and so it just worked. Said nothing. So I don't know that we have much to say about it. We knew this show's been coming for a while, so this one was not a surprise. But I think this is the first time we got a date. We knew it was year two of Disney Plus, but we got a date. So next we had a movie that we knew was coming, but we didn't know how it was coming. Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. Which
Dun
just
dun dun
is
dun.
such a comic book title. Stan would be proud. So Stephen Benedict Cumberbatch is returning as Stephen Strange. Scott Derrickson is returning as director. But and this time he's being joined by the Scarlet Witch, once again played by Elizabeth Olsen. And they said that the events of this movie will connect in ways we haven't seen before with WandaVision. And kind of going back to your comment, Kyle. They're very clear that these Disney Plus series are part of Phase 4. I mean, this is not Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. where it kind of just is its own show and tangentially connected. This is full canon, movie stuff. So they did say that this is supposed to, that the director wanted this to be the first scary movie in the MCU. Still have the humor, still have the fun, but this movie is supposedly scary. It would be released May 7th, 2021. It's also was Benedict Cumberbatch's birthday like 2 days ago, so we all sang happy birthday to him.
But Kevin Feige said scary, but still PG-13.
Yeah, I mean, you're not talking like Saw. No, and it maybe strange. Like, I mean, I don't know. I interpret it as kind of like a Stranger Things kind of thing. So spooky and scary, but not, Yeah, well, so
Wait, what?
we'll get into mutants in a little bit because we
Well, New
talked
Mutants
we
comes out
got.
a week before the next Marvel movie in the MCU.
As of
Allegedly.
now, yeah.
Next, we had What If? Dot 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 question mark. It's an animated series, which once again we knew about from the Disney Plus rollout, summer 2021. I think that's kind of surprised me. I kind of figured as an animated show, it will be released earlier. A lot of voice talent is reprising their roles from the MCU. Basically, all the people surrounding. We knew the first episode is Captain America. If Peggy Carr got the Super Soldier Serum instead of Captain America, so a lot of Captain America people are reprising their voices, including Stanley Tucci and Toby, whatever his name was.
Jones.
Toby Jones, yeah, thank you. And that sort of world. But we did also learn that it's. I kind of envision this as just like a what if, and then it just starts. But it is narrated by the Watcher, who's a character from the MC Marvel Comics, who is played by Jeffrey Wright.
Well, the Watchers have appeared. They appeared in Guardians
Two, yeah.
2 at the post credit.
Yeah, but they didn't say anything, and they're just kind of sitting there. So I think that's interesting.
Yeah, that list of voice actors that are coming back was almost it. Everybody that has been a past character that may have died or has kind of just disappeared from the MCU in general. I mean, the why can't I think of his name right now? Michael Rooker. There we go. That
Oh.
was the one that I think will be very interesting to have back
What
with his
if
character.
Yondu was a nanny from England?
Which I could totally see that happening. You should copyright that right now.
So the next show is a Disney Plus show, Hawkeye. Jeremy Renner did the full Tony Stark, sorry, Robert Downey Jr. walk through the crowd kind of thing. But we also learned that this Hawkeye show will also feature Kate Bishop.
Did Renner sing one of his new songs?
He did not.
Oh, darn.
Fall 2021 talks about how he's going to be mentoring, a new person who doesn't have superpowers. Talked about they will go into his time as Ronin a bit as well. So if you're familiar with the Hawkeye comic, I think this could be a little exciting. You kind of know what this means.
And the logo looks a lot more like the comics.
Yeah, absolutely.
Isn't that the first time though that they've actually called him a Hawkeye? Like, I mean, they've said, oh, Hawkeye, but not referring to his name as Hawkeye.
I don't remember. I'd have to go back and watch Avengers or Thor because I thought that was like his code name from Shield, but I don't
Well,
know
I
if they ever
know
said it.
in Thor they ask where he is, and he goes, you mean the Hawkeye? He's up in the crow's nest or whatever, keeping an eye. But digress, sorry.
No
Can we
worries.
talk about Dazzler now?
Okay, so yeah, so all these started with a little video, and then they would show the logo, right? Well, so these lights start flashing, and whatever happens, and Jeremiah's name, Dazzler, which is like an X-Men that was created in partnership with Mattel, who's like a disco queen.
Hey, she appeared in Dark Phoenix.
Well, yeah, but okay, so it's not Dazzler. That having the first Marvel X-Men movie be Dazzler would be something else. But what it is the sort of spoiled, I think, new Thor movie called Thor: Love and Thunder with Chris Hemsworth and Tessa Thompson. Taika Waititi returns as the director, as we know. It definitely has like a rock concert vibe to it. Tessa Thompson. So, as you know, at the end of Endgame, Thor goes off with the Guardians of the Galaxy. Tessa becomes King of Asgard. She mentions that her first act will be trying to find a queen. So I hope it's not Kat Dennings. But
Oh, that would be great.
and but they did say they did. He talked. Taika talked about how they were going to go use the Mighty Thor arc from Jason Aaron's run on the comic book. And if you're not familiar with that, basically Jane Foster becomes the new Thor. Well, so Jane Foster is going to become the first female Thor, and reprising her role is Natalie Portman, which I think was one of the bigger surprises of this whole thing.
Yeah, I think that was probably for me the second biggest surprise, because we all kind of felt, or we all read into it over the past couple of years that Natalie Portman wasn't too up on her MCU, but then her coming out and seeming very excited by it. I mean, of course she's excited by it because it'll be one of the biggest movies after Ragnarok made Thor as cool as possible, and her being the first female Thor will definitely add to it. Or God of Thunder.
So, yeah, I mean, I think after seeing Endgame, I was kind of like hoping they would resolve that sort of Natalie Portman thing. I kind of felt like it was hanging there, or not Natalie Portman, but Jane Foster. So, I'm kind of excited. And, she did, Hank came out, held up the hammer, which was pretty cool. It will be released November 5th, 2021.
There was also that conversation about Thor and the rock character.
Korg.
Korg, yeah.
Korg, yeah.
Kyle's got
How
it.
there was
He
a
obviously didn't stay up overnight to stay in line for this thing.
they made a point of like Korg's going to be in it, and they're exploring the partnership with Thor and Korg, more of a joke, but it was one of those funny moments where they both grab hands and start talking about the partnership. Like, oh,
It was
okay.
very weird how she asked that question, because I kind of presumed he would be in it considering Taika's directing it. It'd be kind of weird if he wasn't. So that kind of ran us through, obviously, November 2021 for the next 2 years. But they went back to the beginning, the movie coming out May 1st, 2020. The next release in the MCU is Black Widow, which I think is like the worst kept secret. But she's being joined by David Harbour from Stranger Things as Alexei, aka the Red Guardian, Florence Pugh as Yelena, Oti Fagbemi as Mason, and Rachel Weisz as Melina, of Kate Shortland directing. I think we all, I mean, obviously we know what happened with Endgame. It's kind of going back to add some depth to the character now that she's deathed. But this is the one thing we got to see footage of, and it just starts, and it just flashes up Budapest, and then you see an action sequence, and people lost their mind because we've been hearing about Budapest since the first Avengers movie, and looks like we're finally going to get some answers as to what happened in Budapest.
Yeah, the fight sequence though was just very impressive. Just because it's her and Fanboy Yu character name. Her sister,
Yelena.
like.
Yeah, Yelena.
And they start fighting, and you can tell they've both been trained the exact same way because they almost mirror each other in the fight. And it was only probably about a minute and a half fight sequence, but it had more action than some movies do in the entire movie.
Yeah, it definitely seems action related. I mean, there's not a lot, there's no, as far as we know, super heroics in it. It's just hand-to-hand combat, melee kind of stuff. It was a little weird that Jeremy Renner wasn't mentioned because, that's feels like Hawkeye's around is definitely in this orbit, but you know, there's still things to be announced and revealed. So they did give they all the cast were all wearing Black Widow hats. So they told us they were all going to give us one, so they passed out actually fairly efficiently, baseball caps with the Black Widow logo, and we took a picture. So that was kind of it. You know, we just didn't see any footage except for maybe 2 minutes of Black Widow, but I think everyone was very excited. Very similar to the Phase 3 announcement from a couple years ago, except much more condensed in terms of the timeline of release. That being said, Kevin goes, there's other things. You know, we didn't have time to talk about Fantastic Black Panther 2, Captain Marvel 2,
Guardians
Guardians
three.
3, the Fantastic Four, everyone lost their mind, and Mutants. So essentially confirming all of those things, you know, because he's like, which we're working on, we just don't have time to talk about it. But you all know about those, and you know, there's been rumors, but I'm not want to introduce Mahershala Ali, which some people know as Diamondback from the first season of Luke Cage. And he came out and they said, "Oh, you have a different hat." And so he put on the hat and the Blade logo came up.
And
So.
the entire audience went ballistic. That was definitely the biggest surprise. And it was definitely entertaining to kind of watch the it was a slow burn almost, because I think the diehards, which almost everybody in there was a diehard, got it right away. But other people were like, Blade? And I think it clicked in their head of the old Blade movies with Wesley Snipes.
But to me, what's weird though is what kind of stepped on it a little bit was announcing like a Fantastic Four movie. I mean, which we all know is, but I mean, we hadn't heard him actually say they're working on it and they're making it. And so, you know, we all have questions about that. And you know, Blade to me is just based on what it was when it was released originally, as you know, sort of a second tier movie hero. Obviously, you know, as being part of the MCU, it's gonna be a whole other ball game. But you know, not a lot of news on that. It's not part of Phase 4. But, you know, we also didn't hear about another Spider-Man movie, which is presumably happening. There's been plenty of talk that there's not going to be another Ant-Man movie. But, you know, kind of, not that I expect them to acknowledge it, but it's definitely sort of noticeably missing. And that's what it was. So Kyle, I'm kind of curious if someone who's following along, not in the room. No, I mean, it's one thing to be in the room where there's hype and people screaming and, you know, screaming over things that don't even exist. And but how did you take it?
I was mostly excited for the sequels, and I think that's just because, you know, like seeing a list of cast can be somewhat exciting, but without being there and hearing what they have to say about the projects is a little hard to get too excited about. Whereas the sequel, since you already do have a familiar that word, like
Yes.
knowing that Jane Foster is going to come in and be Thor and stuff, that was the thing that got me the most excited from the announcements. And I guess the TV shows similarly, just because you are already familiar with them.
Yeah, the TV shows, it was fun to be in the audience. And I think this is definitely because of us working with Laughing Place. Fanboy was just kind of like, yeah, that's a TV show. That's why there are seven up there. And watching everybody around us, like we had somebody behind us counting when the second time, like, they're doing seven movies? And we just kind of sat there and went, not really.
Not really, but I mean, also, I think, I mean, not that these are movies, but I don't, they're not TV shows either.
Yeah.
There's a whole lot, I mean,
They're
I hate to say
HBO.
it, right, exactly, except cheaper, to watch. They're small little mini movies or whatever, or longer, but I don't know. You know, these are big budget things. And it, you know, it's there's a whole lot of awesome that they're packing in 2 years. Hopefully, awesome.
I don't, looking at that lineup, I think the only thing that will be a big question, and it seems that we're one of the guys that we were walking to try to get food, and a gentleman joined us and just started conversating with us about it. And the Eternals was the biggest question. That's when we were hearing about the, well, you don't know who the Guardians were until the movie came out. So, but I think Eternals could be the, I don't want to say dark horse because I don't think it will be, but it's the questionable one that, you know, actually I take that back. They're all kind of, unless you're the diehard comic fan, none of the newer films are on the tip of your tongue.
Hey, fanboy, remember when they announced an Inhumans movie at the
yeah.
Phase 3?
Whoops. Yeah, I mean, this is a little different in that it's only 2 years down the line, but only two of these movies are actually filming. So, you know, things can change. Dates will probably change. Marvel tends to do that.
They also, the reason that I'm hesitant to think that this is all of Phase 4 is not only because there's another convention coming up in a month, but also Marvel's already staked out three more dates for 2022. So it seems logical that they're, you know, ready to announce what those are.
Yeah, yeah. That's one of the things. Go on, fanboy.
And I don't know if I mentioned this or, you know, it's one of those things where the way it's not what he said, it's how he said it. At the end, he says, you know, we'll be talking real soon. And to which I took as, you know, there's going to be more at the expo. And this was rolling out Phase 4. This is what he wanted to do. But there's more coming down the road. And, you know, there's more detail about Phase 4 probably coming as well. So I think everyone kind of knows that, you know, we got another convention coming up really soon. But I mean, my biggest takeaway is I want to know what happened to Ant-Man. Like, I mean, Paul Rudd, had a great take on the character. And I'm just really surprised that, at least for the moment, doesn't mean anything. Is that, you know, they're not really pushing that any forward.
Well, he's working on Ghostbusters 2020 right now. So he has something book right.
Well, I'm not like personally worried about Paul Rudd's future.
I think it, you know, again, they have so much in the down the line. It's, you know, we could hear about it in a month that here's the phase 4.5 that we didn't talk about that includes the new the third Spider-Man and everything.
Well, there's also tons of opportunity in what they did announce. Like, you don't think that they could shove Ant-Man into a Falcon and the Winter Soldier? Like, that makes sense.
No, and I'm not. Let me be clear. It's not like Marvel to just ignore it. I mean, they've done that in the past, and most of the times they come back and, you know, fix it. but. I'm not worried about Paul Rudd. I'm just curious because he's the one character where I feel, you know, I mean, Black Panther, we know it's happening. Captain Marvel, we know what's happening. It's the one character where we don't know where he's going to turn up next. And it's exciting, and I'm curious. I'm just really curious as to what the future of Ant-Man is. I'm not upset. I'm not missing him. I'm just curious as to what their plans are for the character.
Yeah, because he's the only one that we don't have any definite future on. I mean, most of the characters have a 3-movie arc, unless you're Thor, who has now 5 kind of going forward. But yeah, they haven't said anything about him other than, hey, he was very happy at the end of Endgame.
Any other takeaways, guys?
No, other than I'm very excited. Like, I wasn't at the Phase 3 announcement. I was watching it, or I was hearing about it through tweets on my phone, freaking out. Being here in person, especially with 7,000 other people going completely bonkers over a thing, definitely took it up a level. So I'm very excited.
When you know you're doing your stuff for Laughing Place, we're trying to tweet, and you know it's kind of stressful because you're trying to get, you know, they see the characters and actors' names very fast, and actually if you get it spelled right, and you're not quite sure what you're seeing all the time, and you're down on your phone trying to tweet and on the computer trying to figure out what's happening, so you don't really get to fully live in the moment. But I gotta say, in terms of fan excitement, it's one of the biggest things I've ever seen.
Yeah, your face when they said Fantastic Four lit up like you just opened up the Red Ryder BB gun on Christmas.
I was just finally, because, at that point we kind of figured he was done. And to finally acknowledge the elephant in the room of, Mutants, I feel like we kind of felt like they're going to give him a little bit of a break. But Fantastic Four has not been done. I mean, considering they're the start of the Marvel Universe, essentially, mm-hmm. and never having a Kevin Feige-esque interpretation has been very frustrating. And at least Spider-Man, I think everyone likes the Tobey Maguire version. I mean, people are kind of split on Amazing Spider-Man. But Fantastic Four is just begging to be done with
properly
brilliance.
And that, I mean, really, we could see the Eternals, Fantastic Four. I don't think they probably would put them in there. But if there is a chance for any type of cameo, that could be a good spot for them to show up, because the Fantastic Four has always been more of the grand scheme, the bigger picture for Marvel.
Yeah, I think there's going to be some cross-pollination. I think, that's what Marvel does. But I think they want to let that breathe a little bit too. So I'm curious, in the end, I just don't care. I mean, they have those moments that were exciting, talking about the multiverse and how just because Quentin Beck lied about it doesn't mean it's not true. And the Ten Rings going back all the way to Iron Man. Those moments are great, but they've handled these things so well. I mean, Endgame being a virtually perfect movie I'm just going to go for the ride. And I know that's a terrible thing to say for us as a podcast, but where you expect analysis and takes and stuff like that. But I'm not going to come up with a better version of this than they are. And I'm going to just see what happens and enjoy it. And then after we see it, we can question why they went this route and try and figure out how the sausage was made. But even just with Thor, it's like they pretty much set up as Guardians of the Galaxy, but that's, they're Thor 4 somewhere, so how's that all going to connect is interesting to me.
Them setting it up is almost less about those movies than all those fans going, wait, so they're currently here. How are they going to get from this point to this point? And what's going to take place in between? And again, with the whole Disney Plus aspect, I think Disney Plus is definitely going to be the game changer even more than we thought it was. It kind of falls in the same category. The Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. panel that they did, was that Thursday, Friday? What day is it anymore? Because they announced earlier in the day that Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was ending with the 7th season, which they're currently in the process of filming the last episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. ever. They kind of did a retrospective where they brought out all the stars and had them talk about the different seasons and different highlights, which was fun. But the biggest part of it that came out was during the Q&A, one of the last people who totally pulled the comic book guy from Simpsons, who went into this deep question and blah, blah, blah. And then he gets to it, he's like, so what about the snap? And was it Jeff Loeb? I don't remember off the top of my head who was hosting it. Just flat out goes, it all takes place before the snap for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So that was one of the only bits of news that, apparently, even though they acknowledge the snap or the happening or whatever we want to call it in the last episode of last season, this entire season that's gone a year into the future now, or a year from that point, if the timeline was running concurrent, all happens before the snap.
Well, and you bring up a point that I think, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. kind of spun out of Avengers, and it was definitely integrated in that first season with the whole Hydra thing, but it's kind of been its own thing, and there's been a split at Marvel between television and movies, and, you know, that's not what these new Disney Plus shows are. They're not Jeff Loeb just kind of spinning an idea. These are integrated, made by the same people who make the movies, part of the story, interconnected, just more content. The other thing that I think is it was interesting, and, you know, Lord knows how this is all going to play out and what's going to be connected to what, but neither one of the post-credit tags of Spider-Man Far From Home seem to be addressed in any of these movies. Obviously, Peter Parker's revealing is not in, you know, these movies as far as we know, and they don't seem to address what Nick Fury was up to in space with the Skrulls.
That's an excellent point. I didn't even think about that. And that is the Spider-Man was definitely a question in the group we were sitting around when we were talking about it. They're like, so how's that going to be addressed? It's like, without a Spider-Man movie coming up, I don't look at that timeline of movies for Phase 4 and go, oh yeah, they could tie Spider-Man in with this, this, or this. There's none that jump out at me, plus Falcon and Winter Soldier, which would be great for him to tie into, but I think that maybe a whole other ball of wax with the contracts with Sony.
So that's Marvel. Lots of the other things are happening at Comic-Con. Not so much on the Disney brand, except one that we'll talk about in just a second. But, you know, Fox has had a huge presence at Comic-Con for years. And there's been a weird sort of divide between Fox Broadcast and Fox Disney, the Fox that Disney owns. So where the Fox booth used to be is now Fox Home Entertainment, Fox Television / Hulu booth. And they were handing out posters with Hulu and stuff and talking about home video for Fox movies, but not really, and talking about the Fox shows, the shows made by Disney's Fox that air on Fox Network. So this is all going to take a while to get sorted out, but they did announce that Fox's Orville is going to move from Fox, the channel, to Hulu, which is owned by Disney. So I guess it's just you're seeing more of those sort of separation of Fox Broadcasting, who owns the network, and 21st Century Fox, which Disney now owns. So not creative in the Orville at all in terms of, you know, what that, but if you follow the business part of it, I thought it was interesting. What was your top pick, Jeremiah, from Comic-Con for that we didn't talk about yet?
Oh, geez.
I can't remember what you did.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Kyle, got something?
Yeah, I think the winner is definitely the DuckTales panel. They are teasing a lot of things for season 3, including a lot of more Disney afternoon characters making their way to the show.
Yeah, so they do the shtick in the DuckTales panel every year where they pull out their computer and they go, oh, I didn't mean to, like, oh, we shouldn't have showed you that. That was not supposed to be there. And they go through and just show images and don't give you any context. It's like last year they showed the 3 Caballeros, which ended up being a thing. You know, we saw Gizmo Duck. We saw some characters who we still haven't seen in the show yet, like Bam Bam. Not Bam Bam, but what's the caveman boy's name, who I'm forgetting. And they did Bubba that again. Bubba. Yeah, that's Bubba right. Bubba Duck. And did the same thing this year with, I saw Baloo, a different version of, I think.
It was Kit. Cloud. It wasn't
Baloo. Yeah. Oh, Kit and then, I guess, the girl, Rebecca.
I forgot her Duck name. Chip.
Yeah. Chip and Dale, Goofy. But specifically like Goof Troop Goofy, more gummy bears. I think we even saw the Woozles.
Yeah, somebody said image. There's a Woozle in there.
I didn't see any gummy bears, but yes, no, there was a Gadget and Monterey Jack from Rescue Rangers.
From Gadget Go Coaster.
Exactly.
Yes.
Inspector Gadget.
Ooh. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I'm pulling up the image now because I can't remember. They did say Magicka Dispel will be returning. So there's that. There's the ship from Chip and Dale. Let's see here. Oh, the Daisy. The genie from DuckTales Treasure of the Lost Lamp. Ludwig von Drake. Don Carnage is returning.
We have a whole article on laughingplace.com if you
Yeah.
want to go read that instead of listening to us try to remember from memory.
Right. Oh, and Dark and like full on Darkwing and Gwendolyn, it looks like. Three Caballeros returning. So yeah, there's a oh and what I guess it was is there's no gummy bears, but they do seem to have gummy berry juice. Like a little vial of it. So yeah, I love DuckTales so
Ooh.
much. Like the new DuckTales. I think we were all kind of concerned, at least I should say all. I was a little concerned when I started and they got all the new voice talent and it was just, had different stylization. But it's so much fun. Every episode is just a blast. And I miss it because it's not been on for a while.
I really need to catch up with that. I've watched one episode, and that was at the first panel that they announced it. But yeah, I think just looking at our social media and hearing other fans talking about it, that panel definitely was the biggest non-Hall H panel because everybody was talking about it and giving away the hats seemed to
So
be pretty popular.
my favorite recent DuckTales bit was they go to this like I don't know safe room kind of place that was created by Ludwig von Drake, who appears to have passed on in that, but I don't buy it. And there's like a keypad to enter a passcode, and it's just different buttons of different colors. And he goes like, there's a little video that plays of Ludwig trying to explain what to do, and he goes like, "Oh, you got to enter the passcode. What is it?" And he goes, "Oh, it's red, yellow, green, red, blue, blue, blue." And like, I mean, probably everyone listening to this podcast gets that, but no, maybe 2% of people watching Disney Channel got that joke, and I thought it was hilarious.
I need to get into that show again badly.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I think part of it's because the expo, but usually like Disney Channel and Freeform and other things, like they have more panels here. There's very little. ABC had a couple. They had Emergence, which I went to, and I'll talk a little bit more about that when we get closer to air dates. Mike Celestino went to the Stumptown presentation, and FX had What We Do in the Shadows and Mayans MC. But
Archer.
oh, and yeah, absolutely, and Archer. So, but it just seemed like considering like what I was worried about with just the amount of content, they just seem to be scaling back the number of presentations this year, and it could just be timing. But there was D23 did have a presentation that Mike went to, and they also had two events: a member mixer for Marvel's 80th and a disco, which was very weird.
That could also be because we were so tired, but
It's probably mostly because we were so tired, but
yeah.
when you're that tired, you're really not in the mood to get your groove on. But it was impressive they got Questlove, who was the real name.
Yeah, and it was loud and fun, but I think because we were all so up all day long, walking into it, we were just like, no, we're done.
So we just want to get a podcast up real quick. We talked about Marvel and the rest of Comic Con. Tomorrow's the last day. No Disney presentation. No mainline Disney presentations. So, but we do have the expo coming up. The announcements are coming hard and fast. We had Nat Geo recently. Parks announced their things. I'm guessing they kind of took a break for Comic Con, but we still expect to get more information from Marvel and ABC and a lot more to come to kind of until that schedule is really fleshed out. So just about a month away, so it's very exciting. And there's just a lot going on in the wonderful world of Disney. And we thank you for listening to us talk about it. And if you have any feedback regarding what we talked about, but also anything else you want to mention, please feel free to give us a ring. You can either email us at podcast@laughingplace.com, or you can call our handy dandy phone number, which is 404-594-4577. Once again, that's 404-594-4577. Leave us a voicemail. We'd love to hear from you.
Operators are not standing by.
Nope, because we're all really tired because it was a long Comic-Con. Very, very long. So,
let's do it all
Jeremiah,
again in a month.
Jeremiah, got anything else to say?
No, I always love Comic-Con. I wish that I was a little bit more conscious to help out a little bit more right now, but it was lots of fun, and I'm definitely looking forward to what we'll be doing in a month again.
Kyle, you got anything?
No.
Well, sounds good. And I do want to give Kyle, Rebecca Burbank, and Mike Mack credit. They really man the fort. You know, it's hard to, you know, write when you're at Comic-Con because you're constantly moving. There's not a whole lot of space. And so they were great as we would just send them stuff and they would just get it up really fast so you would have all the information you needed. And I really appreciate their hard work while working long days and into the night and through the weekend to get all of the news up on laughingplace.com.
Yeah, they had the everything from the Marvel panel up almost as quick as we could send it out. So they did a great job, as they always do.
So, and thank you to our listeners, and we will see you real soon.